So I have a bad habit, and that habit is to drive around in my car until there's barely any gas left in the tank. I mean, I literally try to push off going to the gas station until the last possible second. And I will pull all of the tricks and all of the life hacks that we have at our disposal. I'll try turning off the air conditioning, which apparently does something, maybe. I will coast down the hills to conserve as much fuel as possible. I'll start even driving a little less aggressively, which is probably something I should do all the time. It actually uses less gas. My family used to joke that I must think that the E on the fuel gauge stands for enough. Well, this is a bad habit. Why? Well, because I could very easily get stranded somewhere. I could run out of gas, and I could be stuck in the middle of nowhere. And nobody wants to be helpless like that. Nobody wants to be stuck. That's very scary. And I get the feeling that a lot of us right now feel like we are running on fumes, like we're running low on gas in our lives. So many people that I hear from tell me that their tank is just about at empty. It's been a tough couple of years for all of us. Many among us in these pews today have lost loved ones recently. Many members of our community have received very difficult diagnoses. Many of our families are experiencing the grief and the pain of miscarriages, the threat of losing their jobs over vaccination mandates. They're facing uncertainty surrounding future plans and finances, health, education for their kids. I know that a lot of Catholics that I've talked to felt very angry and even scandalized after our president met with our Holy Father, Pope Francis, recently. A lot of good Catholics felt hurt and confused by the church's inability or perhaps refusal to call every single Catholic, including politicians, yes, who support anti-Catholic views, to true contrition, repentance, sacramental confession, and a conversion of heart, a firm resolution to change our ways prior to any of us approaching the altar to receive Holy Communion. It seems like vague wishy-washiness, a desire to play it safe, to be nice to everyone, to not rock the boat. It seems like that is our top priority sometimes. And all the while, I see the faith of Catholics suffering. I see them feeling like they're losing energy. They're running out of gas. All of that is exhausting. And maybe you are sitting in your pews this morning wondering, am I going to run out of gas? Am I going to run out? Am I going to be stranded somewhere in the middle of nowhere? But here's the thing that I think we all need to hold on to very tightly. God won't leave you stranded. He will never leave you stranded. There is always hope. There is always a way forward, no matter what you're facing in your life. You always have enough in the tank to make it to your destination, which is life in God, eternal life in the living God. We heard two stories from sacred scripture today that teach us this crucial lesson in different ways. The first story is one found in the first book of Kings, the story about this widow at Zarephath. The prophet Elijah comes to town, and he has the gall to ask this woman for a glass of water and some food in the middle of a drought and a famine. And the widow replies very honestly and very charitably, doesn't she? Well, sorry, Elijah, but I don't have enough gas in the tank. We're in the middle of a drought and famine. I was about to make some bread for me and for my son, and after we have eaten, we shall die. We're stuck, Elijah. We are stranded. We don't have enough. And Elijah replies in boldness and in faith, doesn't he? He replies with those words, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and bake something for yourself and for me." And then he promises her something truly amazing, doesn't he? He promises her a miracle. "The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." In other words, the prophet Elijah is saying, despite all of the evidence that you see before you, your tank will not run out. I promise you. So don't be afraid. The second story we have comes from the gospel, where we hear of that poor little widow who, as Jesus himself points out, managed to put in more than all of the other contributors to the treasury because they only contributed from their surplus wealth, he says. But this poor widow who has basically nothing, from her poverty, she contributes everything that she has, her entire livelihood, Jesus says. But something's going on here. Pay attention. Do you realize what is at work in the hearts of the rich people who are giving only from their surplus? Even though they are putting huge, vast amounts of money in there, they are terrified. They're stuck in fear. They're afraid to give too much. They're possibly thinking, well, I mean, skimming off of the top is probably the wise thing to do, the safe thing to do. Let's be reasonable here. After all, we don't want to give too much that it hurts. We don't want our tanks to run out, to get too low. We need to make sure that we have enough. We don't want to get stranded, do we? But the poor widow is so different. She is free from all of that self-centered fear and that lack of faith. She knows God and she loves him. And as we know, perfect love casts out all fear. And so she, unlike all of those stingy rich people, has the courage and the freedom to give everything that she has. She only has two coins to her name, but she is willing to let her tank go empty, doesn't she? Both of these stories make it very clear to us that we should never be afraid to give God what little we have. Because the Lord does notice. He does see you. And he does reward your sacrificial generosity. And so I encourage you, give God what little gas you have left in the tank. Don't be afraid. Don't hide that away in shame or in some sort of self-preservation. Don't cling on to it. That is a sure way to lose your faith and to give in to despair. Remember, Jesus said elsewhere, "Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. It is only by forfeiting our lives, emptying ourselves, throwing our entire weight onto the Lord, emptying the tank, that we will ever be able to taste grace and feel its power living in us." That's the mystery of the Lord's cross, isn't it? Jesus himself experienced an empty tank up on Calvary. He loved us to the very bitter end, seemingly stranded high up on the cross. But God never once abandoned him. Though Jesus yelled out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Deep down, Christ knew that God, his Father, would provide him with victory, that he, in the end, had nothing to fear and that God would win. I think we must learn to imitate and allow ourselves to be empowered by Jesus on the cross. Rather than moaning and complaining about how tired and empty we feel, and I'm guilty of that big time, we need to boldly spend ourselves in prayer, sacrifice, and charity anyways, in the face of adversity. What is holding you back anyways? What do you have to lose by giving everything, your whole heart, the last drop of gas in your tank, to the God who loves you? This life that we have is really quite small in the grand scheme of things. It is a mere breath. Our lifespan on this planet is a tiny microscopic particle in comparison to the overwhelming vastness of eternal life in Jesus. However many years we have left on this rock that we call Earth, those years are really only a little cake. They are only two widow's mites. So we might as well give them to God. Now, of course, none of this will make the least bit of sense unless we have been given the gift of supernatural faith. Supernatural faith. Unless we really believe that there is something more than what we can see, smell, taste, and feel, then none of this will make the least bit of sense. The widow at Zarephath could not see with her own eyes or confirm with the power of logic that the flour and the oil would not run out. The widow who put the two small coins into the treasury could not have possibly guessed that somehow the Son of God would notice her and praise her sacrifice. These two women had to make their sacrifices from the darkness of faith. It's hard to make that act of faith. And you and me both are being invited right now to do the same. We are called to live our lives from supernatural faith, the supernatural faith that we were given in the waters of baptism. We need to cultivate and actively foster a supernatural perspective in our own daily lives. Because when we start to look at things through the secular and superficial lens, a godless lens, well then, life really is hopeless. And things really are too hard. And we really don't have enough in the tank to make it through. But by the light of faith, we can know God will never leave us stranded. Despite all the evidence stacked against us, God upholds his end of the bargain. He provides. Our psalm today put it very beautifully. He is faithful forever. He sets captives free. Free from what? Well, free from all fear. Free from the terror of being lonely, of being lost, of being unworthy. Free from hopelessness. Free from atheism. Free from addiction. Free from apathy. Free from panic, pessimism, and undue suspicion. Free from any unjust law or corrupt politician. Free from all the violence and scandal and confusion of our times. Free from sin and hell and death itself. Free to worship God without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. In the spirit of that freedom, let us now turn once again to the altar of God in fearless and supernatural faith, and let us give what little gas we have in the tank to our loving God. In return, we will be filled with the bread of angels. So have faith. Don't be afraid. The Lord will always provide, and he will never leave you stranded.